Amy, we've got a bunch of little nieces and nephews between us, but we've also got a catch-all gift that all of our siblings love for their newborns.
You're totally right, and it's Pampers Swaddlers, because Pampers Swaddlers wick wetness away to keep babies drier and subsequently parents happier.
Pampers Swaddlers absorb wetness better versus the leading value brand and provide up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation.
Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex.
Now you can try Swaddlers with new Pampers-free and gentle wipes for healthy baby skin. These wipes won't tear. In fact, they grip mess, shall we say, more firmly and clean better, leaving baby skin dry, soft, and smooth.
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician-recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. Redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers Cash has no cash value.
I just, I oppose the idea that your kid needs to spend the summer learning.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood with Margaret Abels
and Amy Wilson.
I totally, I think I'm more on your side than you think about this. I mean, I do think that summer is for relaxing.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas.
So you don't have to.
Again, that's sort of my true north, is how do I get my kids to that place where they have no choice but to be outside with their friends making up a game. Welcome to the What Fresh Hell podcast. This is Amy.
And this is Margaret.
And today we're talking about our plans for the summer, or our kids' plans for the summer.
And hopefully at some point those will overlap.
Well, they hopelessly overlap. Right now, right?
Yeah, too much overlapping.
Yes, the more plans my kids have, the better for me, I think. Well, to an extent.
What are your kids doing for the summer?
Well, I don't know yet. I have to figure this out. This is very, very opportune.
This is invisible workload. I feel like we were talking in the, what podcast was it that we were talking about invisible workload?
Dividing the Workload, I believe.
Right, the Dividing the Workload podcast. We were talking about the invisible workload. And this is such an example that, like, the second you see a crocus, you're like, oh my God, summer. I got to make summer plans.
So many moving parts, and you can't sign up for karate camp until you hear back when this is going to be, and your cousin's baptism and this, right? That's sort of how
right.
It goes.
Like everything is interlocking, but nothing falls in place in time. It's like there's some term for that kind of like, it's not a... what do you call those machines where like the ball drops and then it rolls through?
Like a pinball machine?
No,
like
no.
There's Rube Goldberg.
A Rube Goldberg. It's not quite a Rube Goldberg machine, because that's not the right metaphor. But like, it's this incredibly complicated apparatus with all of these moving pieces.
Yes.
For something that used to literally involve go outside when we were children. I don't want to see you until the streetlights come on. And here's a popsicle, like once every 7 hours.
That's, yes. Popsicles are those like ices, those like long tubes of food coloring.
Chemical sludge in the plastic packages.
Chem sludge, yeah.
Oh my God, those were delicious. And also then it came in juice form. Did you have those like big, even my mom was like, I'm not getting that. The gallon jug, we used to call it bug juice.
Yes.
Of like blue juice.
They were called Huggies. In our area, and there were little plastic barrels.
Oh, those were awesome. And they were single serve.
Yeah, single serve little plastic barrels with foil on the top. I think they were called Huggies. There were no Huggy diapers then. This was
I've
back
never
in the
heard
cloth
of Huggies,
diaper
but
day.
This is like regional. We called it bug juice. And it came in like a gallon. It was like that. It was exactly the same thing as antifreeze, but it just was like had a label that said like kids should drink this on it.
So if it was 1981, pretty much all we would have to worry about is getting enough bug juice around for the whole neighborhood.
Right.
Backed up like in our cellar
pack
stairway.
Of Wonder Bread, little bologna,
and we'd
some
be all
mustard,
set.
And you're set for the summer.
I feel like as I look at my kids' summer plans, and of course different age groups have different needs, I do sort of try to create something that resembles in a great way what my summer was, which was so unstructured. And as you said, go outside until it starts to get dark. And then
how
come back
is that
home
possible for you, though, in the middle of New York City? That
well,
seems
yeah.
like
we leave for a lot of the summer.
Oh, okay.
So we rent a house out on Long Island for part of the summer. We go on vacation. My kids go to sleepaway camp. So our summer is very chopped
okay,
up.
Okay, so you're out of the city. So you have some downtime.
A lot of time. Yeah. Even if we're in the city, we're
I like how you said Long Island. You can say Hamptons. You're fancy.
We go to the Hamptons.
All right. There's nothing wrong with the Hamptons, Sex in the City, Amy Wilson.
It can be Sex in the City.
I know you're hanging out with P. Diddy. You don't have to be ashamed.
You know, Jennifer Lopez was down the street once.
I think you mean J-Lo.
J-Lo was down the street
once. That's
what
I hear all of her friends call her.
She was on your block. She's not having this. She doesn't listen to this podcast, but I'm sure even she has to worry about it.
Of course she does. She has 6-year-old twins.
Getting into here and there and everywhere.
Who needs this podcast more than J-Lo?
So I don't want to overschedule my kids because I think that the summer vacation thing is all about the unstructured time, go outside and figure something out. I think that that's the point of summer vacation. However, right in this day and age in New York City, and I think in 2017 in general, these kids...
Your kid needs to be learning Chinese all summer or they're going to fall
Well,
behind.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't even going to say that. I was just going to say, if you let them do whatever they want, they'll be inside playing Clash of Clans all summer. You need to make them leave.
That's the unstructured flip side. It's like, we didn't really have the option of playing video games for 12 hours straight.
Right.
And so we spent the summers growing up at my grandmother's house in a town called Milford, Connecticut. It was on the beach.
Would you pack up and
we would pack up and head for the summer. And like so Mad Men-esque, my dad would just add like an hour to his commute because there was still a commuter rail that ran up there past, you know, from New York City. So he would like come home at like 7 p.m. with his briefcase and like change into his Bermuda shorts and his t-shirt. I mean, it was very Mad Men. And it was almost completely unstructured. I mean, there was really no plans all day. I think occasionally we would like take a tennis lesson or something, but I just have such memory. But there was no like, get off your iPads and go outside. There was one 7-inch TV in the living room that had 4 channels. And, you know, we weren't going to sit inside and watch One Life to Live. So we were like, let's go to the jetty and explore. And we would get these fantastically horrible sunburns and like just make, we would go out to it had low tide with sandbars and we would concoct elaborate stuff. Like, is it possible that I'm misremembering that? I mean, I'm sure it wasn't that idyllic and I'm sure it was kind of a nightmare for my parents, but it was definitely unstructured. And so we have built a little bit of this into our summer because you are about to be so jealous of me, everyone listening to this podcast, because I have a very, very good situation. The day school lets out, we leave for Texas, which is where my husband's family is from. Fairly small town, West Texas.
I'm not that jealous yet because we're talking about Texas in...
Yeah, yeah, and it's 112 degrees. So like, okay. That part's not good, but wait until you hear the awesome part of this.
Go ahead. I'm ready for the awesome part.
We go on like the 26th or 27th, whenever the kids get out of school. We stay through July 4th. July 5th, David and I leave, and we leave the kids there for another 2.5 weeks.
Shut the front door.
I do it.
Two and a half weeks of Camp Grandma, huh?
Bomb. And it's so awesome. And when we first started doing it, we've been doing it since our oldest was like a year old. We've done it forever. Like, I'll leave a baby behind. I have no qualms. I'm like, here you go. Take this infant. Here's a bottle. Goodbye. And then the first year, David and I were like, we got to make a trip. I think we went to Vegas. We were like, we're free. Da, 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 da. And then what we realized is like, why are we spending money at this time? Like, there's nothing to escape from. Last year, we came home. I would go to the farmer's market on a Saturday and buy like burrata and like make like these amazing like burrata on toast with like a vinaigrette on top. Stuff that my kids would never eat. And I would make a giant platter of delicious food that my kids wouldn't eat. And we watch Game of Thrones for like 5 hours a day. We watched the entire thing from start to finish in like 6 days. And it was amazing.
So for those of us who don't have in-laws that will take our kids for 2.5 weeks in the summer,
I mean,
maybe they would. I've never asked. But that's a pretty good setup. But what do your kids do? Do they have cousins there? Are they like out back
looking
for bugs?
Yeah, so they have cousins there. They have cousins there. There's a pool, basically. So like my in-laws, you know, take them over to the pool, and then the pool has like a little shack that serves chicken fingers. Like they eat nothing but chicken nuggets. They come back and like it's definitely like, okay, here's what a vegetable looks like again. We're going to do this from scratch. Like it's a little bit wild and woolly. But yeah, they hang out, they play. It's pretty unstructured. And my days get very unstructured.
Seriously.
Let me tell you, I open my eyes in the morning and I'm like, guess what? There is no one looking for me. Again, I'm not trying to rub this in people, but just because I'm a genius, don't be angry.
Like, just because you married well.
Oh, God, did I married well on every single level, but this might be his crowning jewel.
He holds doors for you.
He holds doors. He's very handsome. And let me tell you, his parents take my kids for 2.5 weeks every
summer.
That's
pretty good.
So,
but for the rest of us,
for the rest of us,
they'll go outside and find a bunch of kids running around the neighborhood. Like no, I said, it doesn't exist in New York City. It doesn't exist in a lot of other places either. I send my boys to sleepaway camp for 3 weeks each summer. And there is a part of their day, I think it's 3 to 5 PM. And it's called like B block time. It doesn't matter what it's called, but it's a time when the counselors step back and they are there and they're observing and they're around, but it's entirely kid-led activities on this big field. And the waterfront is open.
Right. And it's like basically like...
just free play, but it's not...
unstructured activity.
Right. But the camp directors in turn direct these college students to say, don't you start the volleyball game, let one of the kids start it, let them divide up teams, and then you can play if you want. But and the camp director explained to me, and I totally bought this line of thinking, that that's what's missing from kids today. They don't know how to make up their own game without any adult setting the rules, reffing it, helping them pick sides in a way that hurts nobody's feelings or whatever, right?
Right. These kids, and I think that's right,
need that. And so that's their favorite part of the day, are these silly games that they make up, trash ball and frisbee golf, and they become sort of part of the camp lore, but it's all kid-led. And I think so I'm paying to send my kids to the woods of New Hampshire to make sure they learn how to make up a game called frisbee golf, because I'm not sure they would otherwise. And I do think that's what summer's for.
That's where you're investing your hard-earned money.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's it, though. I mean, there isn't the thing of like bug juice and bologna sandwiches and out you go the front door and come back in 7 hours. You're not going to find that. If they go out for 7 hours, like someone's going to just bring, the police will bring them back and you will be arrested. And that's not going to be fun.
Right.
So, I mean, I think the biggest thing, so we come back from our Nirvana, which is our 3 weeks away. And then my kids go to town camp, as we call it. It's just like the rec center in our town has a little camp. It's like a bunch of teenagers in like orange t-shirts. They take them to the pool. They do some crafts at the school. It's at their school, but then it's also at our town pool. And it's very recreational. You know, it's not really like you will spend an intensive 6 weeks learning new skills. It's like you will go and have water gun fights with your friends and go to like the local amusement park on Fridays and see a movie on Tuesdays. And it's like very chill, which I like.
I think that's it. They have to be with other kids. And so maybe you do have to pay some money to make sure that occurs. And then, but then within that, you want the structure to be pretty loose because.
Yeah. And our town camp is cheap as dirt. You know, like there's nothing to it, but it's not. I oppose the idea that your kid needs to spend the summer learning.
Well, that's a good segue to the summer slide.
Ugh, don't tell me about the summer slide.
Well, I'm going to talk to you about the summer slide.
I reject,
I think you need
you, summer
to
slide.
Take it.
I jump upon you and I slide down you, summer slide. I don't fear the summer slide. I embrace it.
You go backwards down the summer slide, head first. The summer slide, I think you probably already know, with the summer slide, it refers to that kids lose a grade level or so of reading and math every summer. And so these teachers have to spend the first month of school getting them back to where they were when they finished in May.
But that must have been true with us too, right? I mean, we were drinking
bug juice.
Like, I don't know. Is that so terrible, the summer slide?
I know. Well, it depends. I mean, it depends on the kid. I have a kid who needs some support to read at grade level. So for that kid, yeah, the summer slide kind of matters.
So I do too. It depends on the kid. So I have a kid who struggles. And I will say that I'm much more invested and interested in keeping him always reading. And like, but so in some ways, the summer was a good time for us. So my son was struggling with, like, he's always been a really strong reader, like picking out words, but his reading comprehension was struggling. And so last summer, I was sort of worried about that. And I decided to get a bunch of books that were the novelizations of movies that he'd already seen. So I was like, okay, so you've already seen, like, you like the movie Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. So now we're going to read the novelization of it. And then, just as like a summer project, we printed out pictures of all the characters from the movie. And then as we were reading the story, we would hold up the right characters and sort of like help him visualize and remember like the story. And this sounds like the kind of mom I would punch in the face. Like, I'm like making puppets and reading stories to my kid. But like, there was something about it being summer that made it like, it was kind of fun to do. Like, we would swim for a couple of hours, and then we would come home and be like, all right, every time we're done with our summer fun, we come and read for an hour. Whereas during the year, to find an hour to sit and read together was really challenging.
That's the truth.
So I think if you have a kid who struggles, you have to be a little creative. And the other thing that we did is he kept a journal all summer. So he helped work on his writing too. Like, he had to write 3 sentences every day in this journal about what happened. So this was his second grade summer. So I definitely think there are ways to creatively keep academic orientation in the picture for the summer. And one of the things, now my son is struggling with memorizing the multiplication tables.
Oh yeah, I'm here too.
Oh, thank God. I'm like, whoa. For me, fourth grade multiplication table was fourth grade. I remember Mr. Van Wert's class, if you got in trouble, and nowadays like people's head would explode if you did this, you had to write the times tables out. That was your punishment if you got in trouble in the fourth grade. But that was the whole thing, was like, you only had to memorize your time tables by the end of the fourth grade. Now it's like end of the third grade.
Oh, yeah. There are hot tears at my house when it's suggested that perhaps we might, they can't be recited to me. That's beyond
the pale.
Have
you downloaded the horrible multiplication song off of iTunes? Multiplication. We're learning our multiplication.
No.
I'm probably like violating a copyright now. And then it's like a rap and it's like 2 times 1 is 2. 2 times 2 is 4. And it does the entire multiplication. But I think I'm trying to get my son to listen to it because I think that's actually how his mind works.
For my older kids, we had a Schoolhouse Rock DVD that collected all the multiplication things. And I don't know where that is now. That's
underneath the seat of some minivan. Well, you should be able to get on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Post a link to that, would you, on the show page?
You make it fun. I'm trying to resist doing things that involve more time in front of a screen. But times tables, I guess, is just one of those necessary evils.
I'm just going to play that song whenever we're in the car until everyone in our family goes clinically insane. That's my plan.
That's a good idea. Like, as soon as you learn it, we can stop listening to this.
I reject fundamentally the idea that you need to make summer about learning beyond, like, you should be reading. You should be doing educational stuff. Hit a museum every once in a while. Like, it wouldn't kill you. But I don't know. I'm never sending my kids to like Mandarin camp.
You know, it depends on the kid.
And y'all can get like way ahead of me online in life because I'm not.
It depends on the kid and what they need. And like
kid needs Mandarin camp though?
Oh, I don't know about Mandarin camp, but my oldest child went to physics camp in California for 3 weeks last summer.
But he's in high school.
Well, he's going to be. He was going into 8th grade. So that was a big step for me to send
him. He wanted to go?
A 13-year-old. Well, he was going with a friend. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Did I update you that I sent my kids alone on a plane?
Oh, yes. Yes, exactly. And I sent him alone on the plane.
Right. You were freaking out about sending your 13-year-old alone on a plane.
Yeah, and he missed his connection. And here he is. So he probably learned as much from that as
right.
he did from
That's
physics
from the camp.
Camp. But he had a really good time. He loved it. And he did get out of that sort of learning is fun, but he's in this specific place, yes, where he's applying to high school, which in New York City is a whole thing, and we needed to test out his aptitude for really being challenged. And he came home from that thinking it was fun, so we said okay, so that helped us shape what kind of high school we were looking for him to go to. If he came home like, that was so boring and why did you send me to that, then I think I would have maybe applied to some other places. So For us, it was useful information, and he got something out of it, but he's not going to be a physics major or anything, I don't think. And he went because his friend was going.
I can't. I want to judge you for sending your child to physics camp, but I can't because I'm not sure if that's age appropriate. But my,
if it's age appropriate,
I think when I hear that is like, wow, you sent your kids to physics camp, weirdo. But
then I also sent him to 3 weeks in the woods.
If he was seven, I would be like, you need to go. But I think it might be appropriate for high school. But I'm still feeling a little judgy about physics camp.
They need to do more than nothing. And they need how about this? What if physics camp, he didn't know anything about physics. So it was sort of, let me try something new. I think the summer thing can be about, let's try something new. My middle guy is trying to sell me on soccer camp this summer. And we're looking at a video of it. And I was thinking, like, you do this all, he has soccer practice 3 times a week, and you're going to go to soccer practice every day in the hot summer for 4 hours? I don't know. I don't think that's what I want him to be doing with this summer. Not that I want him to be doing, I don't know, physics instead, but I kind of think, like, you do that already. Summer is to do something different.
We've hit a rare disagreement on our podcast, which doesn't happen all that often. This is what I think we should do. I think this is a good place for us to break. And then we're going to come back and discuss a little more.
Who's right?
Physics camp weirdo or laid back cool person me. We'll be right back after we play this comedy bit.
Summer's coming and it's time for you to never be alone. Not alone in the morning, not alone in the evening now, not alone, not ever, not unless you sign up for day camp. There'll be camp at everywhere, for camps with horseback riding and platform diving. Day camps everywhere. Oh, it doesn't matter, you won't care, just as long as you're not there. So come on, every mom, grab your wallet. It's babysitting, no matter what they call it at the day camps. It's better than the streets, but there's intimidation across the nation. You can't just let it ride, or you'll be stuck with the kid who flunks out because you forgot about summer slide. Get out the math worksheets, get out all the flashcards now, don't forget the language tutor. All you need is free time, your free time, 'cause you've got a lot to spare. Kids don't need that much, just 10 minutes per subject, per grade, per day, per week. Oh, it doesn't matter what they do, if they're bored, it's all on you. So come on, every mom in Summer Nation, forget relaxing, it's your kid's vacation. It's just summer, with kids whining on repeat. The bathing suits are damp at physics camp, dancing with the geeks across the ocean blue. Me and you, our minivans just freak, but we can have rosé in 80 more days or 11.5 more weeks.
Margaret, I've got a go-to baby shower gift that I give whenever there's another newborn in my life. Can you guess what it is?
Amy, 3 guesses. First 2 don't count. It's Pampers Swaddlers.
Exactly. Pampers Swaddlers keep baby's skin dry, happy, and healthy. Pampers Swaddlers absorb wetness better than the leading value brand and provide up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation.
Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance, hypoallergenic, and free of parabens and latex.
Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle wipes for healthy baby skin. These wipes are 5 times stronger, gripping mess more firmly, shall we say, and making diaper changes a breeze.
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician-recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. Then redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers Cash has no cash value.
Margaret, I've been at the research again, looking into metabolic health and, more importantly, metabolic flexibility, which turns out is the key to improved energy levels, better sleep, better fitness, all the things. And I found out about all this because we got a chance to try Lumen, the first handheld device that helps you manage your metabolic health.
Lumen works when you breathe into it. If you do that first thing in the morning or after a workout, Lumen measures your metabolism by measuring the amount of carbon dioxide in your breath. It's science, people. That lets you see exactly what's going on in your body in real time.
Then you use Lumen's app to get tailored guidance to improve your sleep, your nutrition, even stress management. If you're interested in figuring out the effects of different sorts of foods on your body, Lumen is a really cool way to see what's actually happening as your body burns different fuel sources.
If you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me and use Fresh to get $100 off your Lumen.
That is lumen.me, lumen.me, and use the code Fresh at checkout for $100 off.
Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode. Amy, you know me well enough to know that my daily power breakfast is toast with peanut butter on top.
Toast with peanut butter. It's also, by the way, one of my favorite power breakfasts. So we agree on that thing.
We were recently together and we shared some toast with peanut butter. And I'm going to tell you, we used Hero Bread. It adds even more protein and fiber to that combo without adding any more sugar.
Hero Bread has remade the carby, empty calorie bread products into versions that include no net carbs, 0 gram sugar, and fewer calories, plus more protein and fiber, while still being super fluffy and delicious. I was not sure that that particular combination was going to be possible, but Hero Bread has figured it out.
Yeah, this is one I'm glad they let us try. It's like, it really tastes good. I've been trying to add more protein to my diet, and I would have thought that a hamburger rolls was not the place to do that, Amy. But all of Hero Bread's products, from rolls to tortillas to croissants, we please, offer protein and fiber, 0 to 1 grams of net carbs and 0 grams of sugar.
Start your Hero Bread bundle on their website and get 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code MOTHERHOOD at checkout.
I like this bread, people. It's HERO.CO and code MOTHERHOOD for 10% off your order of Hero Bread. Okay, so we're back and we were discussing Amy's freakish need to send her kids to physics camp and my insane strong belief that summer is just about bug juice and relaxing.
I think I'm more on your side than you think about this. I mean, I do think that summer is for relaxing. It's for doing something different. It doesn't have to be intense, but it should be different. And because relaxing and drinking bug juice is different. Staying up too late is different.
And this is definitely an area where we're like, we have the different ages. We have the different age kids. So like my 5-year-old should be like drinking bug juice, running in the sprinkler, like, and, you know, eating hot dogs. So basic. And then I know that, like, certainly my nephews by high school, my brother has 4 kids, and like some of their kids had summers where they were like, I really want to learn German, and that's what they would study over the summer. But like one of their kids, who's super bright and extremely accomplished, and she ended up as a young person becoming a CIT at like a real like archery, swimming, boating, you know, Camp Anawana kind of camp. And that's what she's done every summer. So she always just goes back to that camp. She became a counselor and now she works there and stuff. But yeah, you know, I guess it has to be a little bit child led too.
It is child led and it's age group led because this is, so my oldest, he's 14 now going into high school. Like you said, when I was 14, I had a job and it wasn't so taxing. I think I worked 15 hours a week. Sort of 3 hours, 12 to 3, 5 days a week in an office. I wore a skirt and I typed from the time I was 14 years old.
Yeah, and that's another interesting thing because it's like summer job. Like, what happened to that?
Jobs. Half of teens in the 70s and 80s had summer jobs, right? Lifeguard, scooping ice cream, or like I said, working in an office. And now only about a third do. I got paid $3 an hour, but I learned how to run an office. I was
I will say we didn't really have summer jobs, but part of it is we went away for the summer. We always went to my grandma's, and so like that was always part of our life. And then it was like, well, we weren't going to get a job up there really. But the summer after my senior year in high school, which is a little late, I worked at Baskin Robbins that summer. And like, yeah, get a job. What about that?
Right. That there's nothing necessarily relaxing about that, but I think it's a really important part of your summer. And a 14-year-old can give 15 or 20 hours a week to
working,
babysitting, whatever.
Well,
right?
And this is something we've talked about before. Expectation management and like how you set up expectations around things. So we talked about this in the helping or helicoptering episode, like if you helicopter your kid and then you're like, now go off to college and be independent, da, 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 it's not going to work. And similarly, like summers, I feel like nowadays it's like people set their kids up with this expectation that like summer is like another Christmas, but it lasts for 3 straight months. It's every day is like a magical wonderland where, you know, unicorns come and ferry you around. It's like, it's summer.
Right.
Go to the pool a little bit, get bored a little bit, you know, drink too much gross juice, eat too many hot dogs, and like get yelled at a lot to stay off your screens. But it's not, it doesn't have to be 90 days of like, it's a wonderland of entertainment.
Well, that's it. And when you all of a sudden have a teenager who's taller than you are and who sleeps until 11 and then sort of grouses that there's no more cereal.
Can't wait for that.
But that the they're not part. Old enough to drive to the store. They're in this weird place where the sort of the world considers them now too old to hold gainful employment or even really to have an internship. I mean, he's a kid, but he's not
right.
For him to sit around and go in the pool all summer. I don't know. I think he's just going to be on his cell phone the whole time. That
right.
it will be a constant fight. And so yeah, get thee to physics camp because where you'll have to do your own laundry. If it's really about fostering independence. I am sort of scrambling to figure out what is he going to do. On the one hand, this is his sort of last summer to be a kid before he's going to have to start doing things to impress college admissions officers, which I agree sucks, but that's the way it is. He's going to have interesting things with his summer, and so this is the last one that he could
just don't do that thing where you pay somebody to make him go build an orphanage. I will judge you so badly.
All right.
No, there's like a whole thing where like, there's like companies now that are like their whole rap is like you hire them to help your kid like start a business, open an orphanage in Haiti, like come up with a cure for malaria. But like they're really doing it. Mm-hmm. But your kid is just like the face of it. But it's just like something rich parents do.
Yeah. All right.
And it's super grotesque.
I'm going to try to.
If I hear about your kid opening an orphanage, I'm like going to come to your apartment and start yelling at people.
I have one very easy job he could do, which is my sister, as I mentioned in the last episode, is about to have her fourth son she's going to have 4, 5 and under. So, he's welcome anytime, seriously, right? Like 6 a.m.,
yeah.
2 a.m., just go up to your aunt's house
and like,
just
that's
play
something
with
that my nieces and nephews always did for me and for us. And like, my nephew would like come out on like the first week of his summer break. And like, I remember in my old house, we had this playroom that was kind of crumbly and a mess. And so, my nephew and I was like, I want to paint one of the walls as a chalkboard wall. It wasn't that complicated a project, but I was like, that week, you're going to come out and we're going to do this project together. It was super fun. And like this summer, we're going to try to build a treehouse. And like now, unfortunately, my nephews are like too old and they're like going to Russia and like working at Facebook
right.
and like doing all
building
sorts of
orphanages.
Stuff. But it's like, yeah, like they're like running the world and they don't necessarily want to come help me build a treehouse. But it's like, I feel like that kind of stuff is so useful. And so it's more useful than Mandarin camp. That's to me.
So, all right. So maybe summer then is about formative experiences, which can take many sorts. They can be, oh my gosh, I'm so bored. What are we going to do? Let's pretend we're going to the moon, right? That's a formative experience. Mandarin camp
it should be formative, but this is what I would argue.
Different from the rest of the year.
The more you form your own formative experience, the better off you are. That's what I think.
I like that.
I just came up with
tweet
it, but
that.
I think it might be
put
really
that on
genius.
A t-shirt.
But like the formative experience, which is like mom and dad paid $5,000 to this company to take me to Guatemala and help me build an orphanage. Yes. Will that kid still like see orphans and interact with people in a different country and like have a probably life-changing experience? Yes. But the more child-led, the formative experience is, that's where I would lean to first. And that's what I object to about, like, and there's also a lot of weeks in the summer. This is the thing. We're 3 weeks, first 3 weeks. I'm not going to go back into it because I know people want to kill me, but like Texas paradise.
Free weeks, first 3 weeks,
second
nothing.
3 weeks, town camp. Then we basically have only 3 weeks left. And so the last week we go up to the lake with my sister's family. And so there's 2 weeks between end of town camp and week at the lake, which is our last week of summer, basically. And those 2 weeks we call mommy camp. And it's like we like go to the meet. We kind of do something every day and like different kids get to pick what to do. And it's like I commit early on that like I have 2 weeks where I have to like really devote all day to the
kids.
You
earn your keep. Right, right.
I have to earn my keep. Yep. Exactly. It's like the 2 weeks of the summer. But it's kind of fun. It's like, and I try to let the kids pretty much pick the activities. And already the kids, they spend a night on the Intrepid in New York City for Boy Scouts. They're like, we want to go back to the Intrepid. Like, okay, we'll do that. And we'll just like try to find a real variety of activities that week. But the more, the older they get, the more it's like those weeks start to become like, all right, what do you want to do? You know, like what's interesting to you?
Right.
And
it
also
does get a little harder. It gets a little harder when they get older. They want to be, can a friend come stay with them? Can they go stay with a friend? And I guess that's what you do. They don't want to be in their house looking at their brother. Or the Xbox, they get bored real fast.
But also maybe in those 2 weeks, like my daughter just like saw Ballerina somewhere and she's been like, oh, I really want to take ballet. I really want to do ballet. And I'm like, all right, well, that might be a good time to see if there's like a 1 week ballet camp for her, you know? Or I think, especially when kids are young, when you're talking about the thing of like physics camp, Mandarin camp, like, that should just not be the majority of your summer, like intense learning.
Well, that leads to a related point. My kids, I think, have the longest summer of anybody in my Facebook feed, anyone. And you and I both live in the Northeast where school still starts after Labor Day, or at least around
Thank
Labor Day.
Goodness.
Thank when goodness. That's what I say.
The thing I hated in LA, when I lived in Los Angeles, school started August 13th. I was like, I'm moving just for this. It's a ridiculous time to start school. August 13th?
In Putnam County, Tennessee, summer goes from May 25th to July 23rd. They start school in July in Tennessee. I don't understand this creep backwards.
Oh my God, if you live in Putnam County, please reach out to us and tell us how you're surviving.
Are you okay?
We're worried for you. Are you guys okay?
But and if you live in Putnam County, Tennessee, and you go to Mandarin Camp, which is probably a pretty small...
Oh, please call me right away, Putnam County Mandarin Camp people. I need to talk to you.
In the Venn diagram, that's probably not very many kids. But
I'll even take physics camp.
But that's all they'd have. They'd get like 3 weeks at physics camp, and now it's time to go back. I have eons of time. We have 3 full months of vacation. So I do feel, talk to me August 15th and maybe I'll say summer's too long, but most of the year I think give me a long summer. I love it and I think kids should get to have it.
Yeah. And I mean, always we're talking about issues that affect people really differently depending on their circumstances.
Oh, you're
right.
So
one of the things that's really difficult is like last summer I was working very challenging. So I had to basically replicate their school schedule almost exactly with camp, which I basically did. Like camp is 8 to 3, so it's basically the same as school, which was great. Like I could keep all my childcare the same and stuff, but I know for people who are working, like summer's really challenging. Can't have any gaps. You have to like, you don't get those 2 weeks where it's like, this is our free week. We'll spend the morning at the pool and spend the afternoon like playing in the yard. Like you do not have that. Summer slide, much more difficult for people who are working. You know, all sorts of people have like different experiences with all of this stuff.
Yeah. And I think
some people don't have the opportunity to be like, let me make puppets and read this story with you all day.
Right. Again, we're in this day and age where it's supposed that we are supposed to sort of curate our kids' things. I think your teacher would be very, your child's teacher would be very happy to hear that you're spending so much dedicated time with your child on his reading, which I think you're supposed to do, but that was just not the expectation back in the day. My summer activity used to be, when I was too young to have the job, when I was 11 or 12, I'd walk to the library with my friend Gina And we'd get like stacks of books, and we were competing for who could have whose tree could have the most leaves on it in the summer library reading club.
Oh my God, we did that too. And I'm like,
and that was all
they
we
still
did.
Do that. I feel like I can't sell my, but like that we were three siblings, 3 and 3 years, and you would get a little book. And like it would have stamps or something, or yeah, you would it leaves on the tree, and you would go, and the whole thing was like, how many books could you read in the summer?
We were just easier to please. I
we
also
were way
recall,
into that, way into that.
I recall long summer afternoons taking my mother's S&H green stamps and sponging them and putting them into booklets so we could go get a blender.
Wow, did you just? We're old. I think people have no idea what we're talking about, but oh my God, like, and just leafing through that catalog of what you were going to get with those stamps. The greatest days of all days. But also then, like, my sister and I love, we spent hours every summer playing a game we called Charlie's Angels.
Sure.
There was only two of us, so we got to pick which angel we wanted to be. And then we would get our mom to put our hair in a style that we grew up calling rich girl's hairstyle. Which involved like just putting the top of your hair in a ponytail. So like just, you know, like just the top part and then the other part was long.
How does that read as rich girl? I can't
picture.
I have
no idea, but we would just, that's how it was always referred to. It was never questioned. I would just be like, Mom, would you put my hair in rich girls? And it meant like that, like just like the top of your hair, you know what I'm saying, goes in a ponytail. And then it was time to play Charlie's Angels. And we would ride around on our bikes through our neighborhood. And I don't even
you
know what
crime.
Part of that was Charlie's Angels. We got a special hairdo and we would ride our bikes. And that was playing Charlie's Angels.
Well,
and I feel
nothing,
like we did it for
bad.
Hours.
Nothing bad happened to that neighborhood that summer. Not with you two.
Oh,
around.
No. Not with the angels on patrol.
Yeah. All right. So it's about getting our kids out of the house, making stuff up. Did you ever see the show Phineas and Ferb, the cartoon?
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing, and it's on Netflix. So if your kids don't watch Phineas and Ferb, they should be watching Phineas and Ferb.
Mom,
and
we're making a title sequence.
Yeah.
No, Mom, Ferb is making it. What is it?
Mom, Phineas is making a title sequence. That's it. But the whole sort of premise of the show is that each episode, the whole show, they're on summer vacation, and each episode is one day a summer vacation. And it's summer vacation is so precious, and so we have to do something really great today. And it's these kids, right, thinking they're going to send monkeys to the moon or whatever each episode is, and their sister trying to foil their their stepbrothers. The sister's trying to foil their exploits, but she never can. And they kind of really do send monkeys to the moon, or at least in their, it's a little Calvin and Hobbes, but it seems like they really achieve these crazy things they set out to do. And it's all about kids' unfettered imagination when they're a little bit bored, the things that you come up with when you have nothing else to do. And so I just, again, that's sort of my true north, is how do I get my kids to that place where they have no choice but to be outside with their friends making up a game.
Right. But like, as you said, that's the imagined version of that. It's like all those like Facebook memes that are like, imagine version, and it's like the lady in the water like flipping her hair back and it looks like a rainbow, and then it's like real version and it's like the lady like getting swatted in the face with her hair. Mm-hmm. Like real imagined version is like, my kids are just gonna roam free, ride bikes and drink bug juice like we used to do. And the real version is, my kids are going to play Disney Infinity for 6 hours a day. And that's you got to fight that. And I do think like having some structure and having some activities and having some camp stuff that you do is great. I don't know. I think I have a chip on my shoulder that like I'm kind of the lazy mom. And I feel like those Mandarin camp moms and physics camp moms are like ruining the curve for me.
I don't
me,
know.
You know?
No.
But you know what I mean? It's like, oh, you're just screwing. Like, I just want my kid to relax. But like, why am I sitting up nights being like, Amy's sending her kid to physics camp. Oh, my God. I shouldn't be letting my kid like loll around the pool.
No, that's
but,
definitely
but everybody
a part of
needs
it.
To calm down too, because like, I mean, there are people whose kids struggle, live in tough places, don't have access to good education. Like, if you live in the rare air of like your kids go to a decent school, they're getting a good education, like relax. They're not gonna, you know, they're already playing soccer. Like you said, like relax, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to. It's not a treadmill where it's like, we got to keep running all summer. We'll fall behind the other people, especially the Wilsons who are at physics camp. Like, that's not the equation.
Right.
I'm so bitter about that physics camp.
You really are. It was the physics of sports. Does that make you feel better? It was like,
a little bit.
How do I make this race car go faster than that race car?
I mean, I don't know.
But at the end.
It's that the fact that he's older is fine. If he was 7, I would just be really irritated.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I mean, he's almost in high school. It's fine. Go to physics camp.
Summer is a time for formative experiences. And as you said, the more you're forming them yourself, the kid, the better. And sometimes formative experiences that are bad. I mean, get my husband talking about his high school summers. He held a stop and go slow sign on a construction site on a road. Like the person you drive by that is holding the sign.
Yeah.
That was him. And he said he always tells a story that his first day, for about the first hour, he was sort of like, I'm making $16.75 an hour. Like money bags.
And $16.75?
I don't know what it was. It was a lot of money for a high school kid in the 80s. Maybe it wasn't that much. But it was a lot. It was a lot more than I was making in the office. But that's because you're standing on blacktop.
Hot for concrete. Yeah.
8 hours a day. And he said by sort of lunchtime of the first day, he just was dreaming of grad school. Like,
your
I gotta get out of here.
Your husband has a lot of bitter making formative experiences. Raking the shag carpet. This is the second time I've heard the construction
sign
story.
And then he had to
story.
Come home.
Like,
and
he's the guy who like walked uphill both ways to school.
Exactly.
Like every day in the snow.
Exactly.
I
so
like it.
Get him talking about
get
who should be taking out the garbage.
It.
Exactly. But that was formative. That was formative for him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he did okay. Then he came home. And
so I think our takeaways basically are, have some structure. Keep them off screens. It's not going to be like 70 summer, rich girl hairstyles, Charlie's Angels bike riding, bug juice, bologna sandwiches. We're not going back to that.
But that's a good sort of
but it's a touchstone.
True north. That's a touchstone
right.
for
it's
us.
A true north. Help them find unstructured time that does not involve screens.
And doesn't involve you filling it for them, right? That make up a game.
Right. And if they have siblings or if they have friends, like go have some unstructured run around the yard free time. And then look within the formative experiences of summer to help as little as possible with the forming of those formative experiences.
And if anybody has a summer job for my teenager, you can let me know.
But it should not be...
Not holding a sign in the road.
Holding a construction sign on
his hands are too soft for that, I think.
he's weak. Weak.
He's a physics camper. He can't do that.
Yeah, no. You can't expect that from the physics. If anyone needs a rocket designed to Mars, he did go to physics camp, so he should be able to take care of that.
He has to do for his high school this summer, he has to do a service project. He has to do, which could take him 5 minutes, but he has to do a random act of kindness once a week all summer. So, I mean, that's going to be the poster in our kitchen.
He can come clean out my minivan for me. That would be a random act of kindness.
Oh, good, I'll mark hired. You down. Third week of
but
July.
But it's free. It's because volunteer. I wouldn't want to corrupt his soul by paying him.
That's right.
So that's summer. And the biggest thing about summer is like, y'all better get going. It's summertime it's almost summer now. Like, you only have 3 months to prepare for summer. And as we moms know, that means like fire's on.
Seriously.
Get going. So we want to hear, what are your summer plans? What does summer mean at your house? And are you pro or anti physics camp?
What do you think about the summer slide? That's what I want to know about.
Oh,
I'm going to advocate.
Slide. That's not a thing. Don't even weigh in on that. That's not a thing.
How about is your summer too short? Because I think we'll hear some interesting.
That's true. Is your summer too short?
When do you go back to school?
Lots to discuss. So come find us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/whatfreshhellcast.
You can also find us on Twitter at HellFresh, or you can go to our website, which is whatfreshhellpodcast.com. And there's actually a nifty new thing on our website. If you look over on the right sidebar of our website, it says, what topics would you like to hear us talk about? You can click on that. You can send us a voice message right from the website and tell us what you want to hear us talk about on the show, or what you liked or didn't like about a past episode. We would really love to hear from you.
Or how right I am about things. That's always a good topic for a voicemail. Another way we'd love to hear from you is for you to go to iTunes and review the podcast. That really helps keep our ratings up, helps new people find the podcast. And basically, you have to stop listening now and go start filling out immunization forms for your kids' camp because you know you're behind on
that. Get cracking.
So get cracking, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Thanks, everyone.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.